From the K-Rob Collection, this is Audio Antiques, featuring programs from the golden age of American radio. I'm Ken Robinson. The Zero Hour was a daily mutual broadcasting system radio drama hosted by Twilight Zone star Rod Serling. We're going to hear two episodes from 1974 starring African-American actor Greg Morris, who got his start appearing on such TV shows as The Twilight Zone, Branded, and Ben Casey. Morris is best known for his role as electronics expert Barney Collier on Mission Impossible and as Lieutenant David Nelson on the crime drama Vegas. Now he stars in Other Sins Only Speak and The Rehabilitation of Citizen Fimple on The Zero Hour. For decades, Wikipedia has been a beacon of unbiased, free knowledge for everyone. It's a place where facts triumph over fiction, and information is shared without any hidden agenda. But maintaining this incredible resource requires your help. Wikipedia is run entirely on donations from people like you. Your contribution, no matter how big or small, can make a world of difference. By donating to Wikipedia, you empower millions of individuals to access reliable information, learn about diverse cultures, and expand their horizons. You can help ensure that knowledge remains free and accessible to everyone, regardless of their background or location. So, as a former Wikipedia editor, I ask you to join us in supporting this invaluable platform. Visit donate.wikipedia.org. today.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Glenn Hall Taylor's story of a murderous triangle. Other Sins Only Speak. Murder Shrieks Out. Starring Greg Morris. In a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company. Also by Beechnut Chewing Tobacco, Shenley Industries, Matus Wine, and International Harvester. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
This is Hugh Downs with another car buyer's report from Ford. Car size and fuel economy are important considerations today. But so is the total cost of ownership, which involves purchase price, trade-in value, and operating economy. And Ford feels if you compare mid-sized cars, you'll choose Ford Torino. Take some operating economy examples. Torino offers gas-saving steel-belted radial-ply tires standard, runs on regular gas, and has a 26.5-gallon fuel tank that's 20% more capacity than its closest sales competitor. And compare some scheduled maintenance costs. You'll find in the course of 50,000 miles that compared to its closest sales competition, Torino's chassis is scheduled to be lubricated only once to their 8 times. Spark plugs are scheduled to be replaced only half as often. Everyone says compare. Ford says compare not only the cars, but the total cost of owning a car.
The closer you look, the better we look.
Marion Vance has been ill for a long time. Once a vital, sparkling, and passionate woman, the months in bed and in a wheelchair have reduced her to but a blurred image of her former self. Today, therefore, is a very special day, for she feels her doctor's given her hope. A hope which brightens her future, even as her love for her husband has brightened her life. As our story begins, Dr. Harvey has just left. cheeks flushed with excitement, Mrs. Vance calls out to her nurse.
Ruth? Ruth?
What is it, Mrs. Vance?
Ruth, did Dr. Harvey speak with you before he left?
Why, no, he didn't. I was out in the kitchen.
He gave me the most wonderful news. Today, for the first time, he said he believes I'm going to recover completely. Isn't that exciting?
It certainly is, Mrs. Vance.
Oh, I feel as though I could get out of this bed right now, walk and even dance around.
I'm afraid you hadn't better try anything like that just yet.
I can't wait to tell Bob about it. He's been so good, so patient throughout this whole long siege.
I think I heard your husband's car pull into the driveway just as we were talking. I'll go tell him to come right up.
Now, if it is Bob, don't let him come up right away. I want to have time to fix my hair and put on a dab of makeup. I want him to see me as I used to be. And don't tell him what the doctor said.
Very well, Mrs. Vance. I'll find something to occupy him for a few minutes.
Thank you.
Oh, I didn't expect you to be waiting at the front door.
I was just going for a walk.
How's Marion?
Okay. Dr. Harvey was just here.
I'd better go see her right away.
She wants you to wait until she fixes herself up.
Oh.
You see, Dr. Harvey told her she's going to get well.
Come here, darling.
What is it?
I know what you're thinking. We just never expected her to get well, and now...
And now she's going to get well, and I'm going to take my walk.
No, wait.
Wait. Wait. Wait, wait. That's all I've been doing for a solid year. Waiting for that woman to die. And now she isn't going to.
Well, did you hear the doctor tell her that she's going to get well?
No.
Well, maybe she's making it up. Maybe it's something she just wants to believe.
Nevertheless, I'm going for a walk. You go up and talk to her and find out for yourself.
When are you
going
to be back?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Don't be long, please. I've got to talk to you.
My name's Harrington. I'm an investigator for the district attorney's office. I'd been over at police headquarters on an errand for the DA when I learned of a special type of ripoff that was victimizing doctors and who knows who else. Dr. Harvey on the west side of town reported his office had been broken into and a batch of prescription blanks stolen. It was the second such incident in a week, the first victim being another doctor. When I reported them to my boss, he said...
It may tie into narcotics.
Ah.
Now, oddly enough, I had a call from the FBI today. They've had several reports that someone has been going to drugstores, presenting legitimate prescriptions for morphine tablets, and then in an hour or so, the purchaser returns the tablets, claiming they're not right. The pharmacist obliges by refunding the money. The pharmacist later discovered the pills which were returned to him contained only saccharin.
That's a pretty smart deal. But I figured stolen prescription blanks would be an easier racket.
Oh, didn't the police get the numbers on those blanks?
Yeah, but just as I left headquarters, they were preparing a bulletin to go to all drugstores in the area, warning them to be on the lookout for anyone passing them.
Who is it?
Me, Bob.
You certainly took your time.
I was with Mary. I came as soon as I could.
That was decent of you.
I want to talk to you. May I come in?
You're halfway in now.
Thanks.
More waiting?
Please, Ruth, no attitude.
This is hardly an attitude.
Listen, I called Dr. Harvey.
And?
He says she misunderstood him. He merely told her that she seemed better today. Now, he told me her improvement is only temporary. Her case is still hopeless.
It would seem mine is, too.
It is not. She will die.
Well, that's true of everyone eventually. And how many more years does he give her while I'm waiting?
Please, Ruth, there's nothing we can do but wait.
Nothing? There is such a thing as divorce, you know.
With her in that condition, what would people say?
Well, if they had any brains, they'd say you were well out of it. Oh, look, darling. You keep telling me you love me. Then why don't you show it?
I try to.
How? By letting me stay in this house and wait on your wife hand and foot? You're afraid to ask her for a divorce.
I can't. The shock would be too great. It would kill her.
Would that be so bad?
Ruth!
Well, would it...
Now, wait. That's pretty cold-blooded.
You know we both hoped she'd die.
Yes, but not because we caused her death.
Death is death.
But the way you put it, it makes it sound like murder.
And that shocks you?
Yes.
Well, now I know where I stand. I'm not waiting any longer. I'm getting out of here tonight.
Ruth, you can't. I must mean more to you than that.
You mean everything to me.
That's why I can't take it any longer.
Please, Ruth, I'll do anything to keep you with me.
Do you mean that?
Anything. Only don't leave me. I'll do anything.
And it's all very simple. Somehow, you're going to arrange Marion's death.
Here, honey, this is for you.
Oh, George, what a nice surprise. What is it?
It's a tire gauge.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
What's a tire gauge?
Well, you check your tire pressure. Well, it helps you get better mileage.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got it free from our participating international dealer just for looking at the new international travel law.
A new international travel law?
Yeah.
What's a travel law?
Well, it's something like our old station wagon.
Our old station wagon?
Except the travel law's a foot and a half shorter, so it's much easier for you to park.
Our old station wagon?
Yeah, and it has 20% more room inside. More room for you and the kids, more room for groceries. We'll get lots more use out of it.
Our old station wagon?
And right now, until July 20th, you get 4 Firestone gas-saving steel-belted radial tires on most models at no extra cost.
But where is...
And they're worth $290, suggested retail price.
George, where's the new travel law?
Right outside the window.
No. Oh, George, it's different.
I know.
I like different.
I know.
It's different, all right.
Yeah, Chief. I'm here at police headquarters with Sergeant Evans. He reached me on my car phone. I was only a few blocks away, so I swung over here. Yeah. Yeah, it ties in with those prescription blank robberies we were discussing yesterday. A druggist out on Beacon Avenue phoned headquarters. Evans took the call. So the druggist reported that this morning, before he'd received the police warning about the stolen blanks, he'd filled the prescription with Dr. Harvey's name on it. Right. Yeah, he was one of the doctors whose offices had been burglarized. Well, I'll swing right over there. I figured you'd want me to. That's why I called. Yes, sir. Goodbye. Thanks, Sarge.
Sure, anytime, Harrington.
I'm going to swing by the pharmacy and then go over to Dr. Harvey's office and take a chance on finding him in. You're the pharmacist that called police headquarters about the forgery?
Are you from the police?
I'm from the district attorney's office.
Yes, I didn't say it was a forged signature. I merely said that I have received a prescription on one of Dr. Harvey's blanks. When I received the police bulletin, I reported immediately. I have it right here. Here you are, Mr. Harrington.
Of course, you know I can't read this thing. Doctors write the way they talk.
Yeah. Let me get used to it. There's that scroll there that looks like a spiral key, for example. That is OC, meaning ounce.
Well, I'm on my way to see Dr. Harvey now. You mind if I take this along? I'll give you a receipt. You'll get it back.
Oh, gladly. Anything to help.
Come in. Excuse me, Mrs. Vance.
Yes, Ruth?
I have your medicine here.
Oh, I guess Dr. Harvey didn't get a chance to mention it to you, but I'm not to take it anymore.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Marion. You see, when I called him to get some more details on your recovery, he said that he'd reconsidered and that he decided that you should take the pills for a little longer.
Oh, well, very well. Here you are, Mrs. Vance, and the water.
Marion?
Yes, dear?
Nothing.
Why so many pills?
This is a different prescription.
Oh. Oh, thank you. You may have the glass back, Ruth. Won't you sit down and visit with us a while?
Thank you.
I've just been boring my husband with all the plans I have for us when I'm up and around again.
It's nice you can look forward to it.
Well, if we ever do one-tenth of them, he'll be the one to take to his bed with exhaustion. My goodness, I wonder how many million pills I've gulped over the years. Sometimes I think... Oh! Oh!
Marion.
Oh, that frightened me.
Marion, what's the matter?
Oh, probably nothing, but I just had a sharp pain. It felt like... Oh, darling.
Good Lord, Ruth, I can't take this.
You've got to.
Oh, Bob. Oh, call the doctor.
Okay.
What do you think you're doing?
I've got to call Dr. Harvey.
Are you out of your mind?
I didn't know it was going to be like this.
Bob, why are you just standing there?
He isn't calling the doctor, Mrs. Vance.
What do you mean?
There's nothing any doctor can do for you now.
Bob.
You're dying.
Ruth!
Shut up. She's got to hear this. I've been waiting a year to tell it to her.
Ruth,
listen
please.
To me, Mrs. Vance. You're dying because we planned it. Your husband and I.
I don't understand.
We love each other, Mrs. Vance. You've been keeping us apart.
No. No.
See, my arms are around him. I'm holding him.
Ruth.
See, Mrs. Vance, see.
Oh, no. No.
We're free, darling. We're free.
My daddy was a mighty fine man. He taught me a thing or two. A woman can hurt, so you stay on your guard and beat nuts with the tobacco you chew. Them times we'd go fishing, my daddy and me, he'd tell me everything you ever knew. He'd go after big mouth in close to the bank and beat nuts with the tobacco you chew. Around here, beech nuts the word for chewing tobacco. And it's been that way, father and son, for a long, long time. What's the secret? It's the way beech nut just keeps getting better. Like beech nuts a lot moister these days, with more taste and less stems. Big improvements. You ought to try today's beech nut chewing tobacco. And now I'm a daddy with a son who's full grown, and I tell him a thing or two. Scared money don't win, evil women drink gin, and beech nuts the tobacco you chew.
Well, I called on Dr. Harvey and showed him the prescription I'd borrowed from the pharmacist. Then came the old switcheroo. It was his signature, but the drug was one he'd never prescribed for anybody. The doc and I agreed that by the look of the creases where it had been folded, someone had carried it around for quite a while. Maybe in a wallet or a handbag. Then, too, we bombed out on our narcotics ring theory, because it wasn't a drug any junkie would use. Whatever was hiding under that tongue-twisting Latin name he gave it was too powerful a drug to be used for a fix. In fact, the doc said if a person didn't know how to use it, it was sudden death. I thought I'd detected an erasure on the paper, so I hustled over to the police lab.
Come into the living room, Ruth. No one's here but me, but... Well, Dr. Harvey signed that death certificate and he left.
Did he notice how long she'd been dead?
Yes, but he concluded she died during the night.
That's what I figured.
The undertaker will be over soon to pick up the body.
Good. The sooner the better. It was bad enough having her in the house alive.
Ruth, I feel terrible about her, about everything. It's been a terrific strain.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Bob. You didn't think it was going to be fun and games, did you?
No, but I didn't realize it would be so horrible either.
You've got to get this thing out of your mind. The idea was to get rid of her so we could be together. You've done nothing but sit around wishing she was back.
Oh, you're right. I must forget it. I won't talk about it anymore.
Promise. Now, that's better. Now, let's talk about you and me.
Well, I think that we should wait a decent length of time between the funeral and our marriage.
And what's a decent length of time?
I don't know. I just don't think we should be too obvious.
Oh, Bob, darling, I've waited so long. Please don't make me wait again. It mustn't be too long.
It won't be, darling. It won't be.
The police lab report confirmed my suspicion of an erasure on the prescription form. The lab man put it under the ultraviolet lamp, and the original writing showed up like a black eye on an albino. I reported this to Dr. Harvey, and he immediately suggested that Mrs. Vance's death following the filling of the prescription had been more than just a coincidence. I relayed his suspicions to the morgue, and they called in the medical examiner. He discovered poison in her stomach. I called the DA. He told me to meet him in front of the Vance home. I did.
Coming. Yes?
I'm from the district attorney's office. Here's my ID. Is Mr. Vance at home, please?
What do you want to see him about?
Who's that, Ruth?
Someone for you, Mr. Vance.
Oh, well, what can I do for you?
He's from the district attorney's office.
May I speak with you, please?
Of course, come right in.
Thank you. My name's Harrington.
I noticed on your credentials card, Mr. Harrington, Miss Turner. She's been my wife's nurse.
How do you do?
How do you do?
I came to see you because of your wife, Mr. Vance.
Oh, well, of course you had no way of knowing, but she died last night.
Would you excuse me, please?
Miss Turner, wait a moment.
I think this will be of interest to you also.
What's this all about?
Your wife's death, Mr. Vance.
Well, why involve Miss Turner?
Well, there's some rather unexplained details concerning it.
In what way?
There's evidence that she was poisoned.
Poisoned? Well, that's ridiculous. She's been under Dr. Harvey's care for quite some time. He wrote out the death certificate and seemed quite convinced that she had died in her sleep.
That may be, Mr. Vance. Nevertheless, a post-mortem at the morgue revealed the presence of a lethal amount of poison in her stomach.
I don't understand.
I'm sure Miss Turner does.
What do you mean?
A prescription was filled yesterday for the drug that killed her. It was ordered by a woman who fits your description.
Why, that's ridiculous. I'm a registered nurse. You can check my reputation.
What do you have to say about it, Mr. Vance?
I don't know.
You don't know she was poisoned?
Well, yes, I mean, Ruth...
Shut up!
Ruth, what do we do?
I can answer that. I have a squad car outside. You're both coming with us to be booked for murder. You know I'm no genius, but I don't understand how anybody figured they can get away with anything to leave so many footprints as murder. Mr. Vance and his nurse Ruth were apparently intelligent people. And everybody knows that the personal lives of men and women sometimes get all fouled up. That all marriages aren't made in heaven. And I know that guys get yens for dames and that dames are only human, despite a few like Ruth Turner. But I don't see how even she, especially as how she was trained in medicine, could think there wasn't a way to figure out a poisoning. Well, I got a split. My wife's getting dinner on about now, and I don't want to be late. After all, I don't want her sneaking something into my coffee. See you later.
Matus is an old-world rosé wine people enjoy everywhere. Like down in the Delta, they know the blues are what you make it, and that the light, easy-to-like taste of Matus Rosé makes the meal. Man, on the West Coast, Matus is out of sight, but you see it everywhere. And in New England, Matus Rosé is perfect for that elegant evening on the town. Matus, the rosé wine that goes with everything good, anywhere, anytime at all.
Hey, 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 Matus Rosé.
Imported by Dreyfus Ashby & Company, New York, New York.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes. Exercise your imagination. And join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
Other sins only speak, murder shrieks out. Is an original radio drama adapted by Glenn Hall Taylor. Greg Morris was heard as Harrington. Featured in the cast were Scott Ellsworth, Iris Mann, Jay Johnston, Julie Bennett, and Jack Crucian. Zero Hour, rated by J.M. Coates, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman, Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Keith Walker's whimsical tale of love and crime. The rehabilitation of Citizen Temple. Starring Greg Morris. In a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company. Also by Beechnut Chewing Tobacco, Shenley Industries, Matus Wine, and International Harvester. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
This is Hugh Downs with another car buyer's report from Ford. Car size and fuel economy are important considerations today, but so is the total cost of ownership. which involves purchase price, trade-in value, and operating economy. And Ford feels if you compare mid-sized cars, you'll choose Ford Torino. Take some operating economy examples. Torino offers gas-saving steel-belted radial-ply tires standard, runs on regular gas, and has a 26.5-gallon fuel tank that's 20% more capacity than its closest sales competitor. And compare some scheduled maintenance costs. You'll find in the course of 50,000 miles that compared to its closest sales competition, Torino's chassis is scheduled to be lubricated only once to their 8 times. Spark plugs are scheduled to be replaced only half as often. Everyone says compare. Ford says compare not only the cars, but the total cost of owning a car.
The closer you look, the better we look.
Each of us has an accident or two in our lives. A normal occurrence, something we accept and make the best of. But what if they occurred every day? What then? You're about to meet simple Tommy Fimple, an average nice man, trapped in that never-never world of error.
Fimple, I told you not to touch anything. Fimple, you bring this prison down around my old head.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Where is this a break? Where? Any hostages?
Kalinske, get out of here. There's no break. It's just Fimple.
I should have guessed. Fimple, I'm glad you're leaving.
Thank you, Mr. Kalinske.
Tommy, pull up a chair. Not mine, you idiot.
Here, I'll sit here. Sorry about the alarm. I thought it was a light switch, Warden.
Just call me Warden.
Hey, okay, Warden.
Tommy Fimple, it's my proud, and I might say relieved duty, to release you to the outside world. Leave that alone! Tommy, I want you to know, even though it's been difficult, I've grown fond of you in the year you've been here.
It's a nice prison.
Yes, well, I think we can forget about the couple of accidents that happened here.
I never knew oatmeal could burn like that.
What? Oh, you mean the fire in the kitchen. Yes, well, that was unfortunate. But you did a good job in the jute mill.
I always meant to ask, what do you do with all that jute?
We make rope, but that's not material. The big question is, are you ready to become a citizen again?
Could I have a cigar?
Huh? Oh, certainly, my boy. This is sort of a rebirth. Go ahead, take a couple.
I want you to know you seem like a father to me.
Well, that's mighty nice of you. You're all my sons here, but I certainly do consider you special.
Got a light, Dad?
Use the desk lighter.
Hey, I've never seen a gas lighter before. What's this little lever here?
Uh-oh. Simple, the lamp! You set my lamp!
I'll get it. There. Looks better all black like that, see?
That's it. I can't take any more. Here's your $25. You got your suit. I wish you well. Come on.
Gosh, Warden, I thought we could talk a while, sort of father and son.
Yeah, well, you write me. Guard, show Mr. Fimple out. Now! Go straight, you hear?
Right, Dad. Thanks, Mr. Kalinske. Hey, guys in the tower, so long. Could you open the gate a second? My coat's caught. Hello, this is Tom Fimple. Hello? Hello? Hello, the End Diaper Service? This is Tom Fimple. That's not very nice to say on the telephone. Hello? Hello, miss. My name's Tommy Fimple.
Oh, Mr. Fimple. Mr. Coon's been looking forward to seeing you. Through that door, please.
Yes? I mean, he wants to see me? Well, you don't know how many turndowns. Where did you say? That door? Right. You're pretty. Did anyone ever... This door. Right. Here. Thomas Ulysses Fimple should be Thomas Ulysses Failure.
Oh, idiot. I'm out of my way.
Here, let me help you. I'm sorry.
No, that's not alone. Go on.
I insist.
Look where you're going, Clump.
I see you. Stop.
Oh, golly. Quick, hey, grab the stuff.
Huh?
Come on, run.
Gee, a false bottom box. That's clever.
There they are, officer.
Officer?
Run.
Why are we running?
I'm a shoplifter.
My daddy was a mighty fine man. He taught me a thing or two. A woman can hurt, so you stay on your guard and beach nut to the tobacco you chew. Them times we'd go fishing, my daddy and me, he'd tell me everything you ever knew. You'd go after big mouth in close to the bank and beach nuts the tobacco you chew. Around here, beach nuts the word for chewing tobacco. And it's been that way, father and son, for a long, long time. What's the secret? It's the way beech nut just keeps getting better. Like beech nut's a lot moister these days, with more taste and less stems. Big improvements. You ought to try today's beech nut chewing tobacco. And now I'm a daddy with the sun's full grown, and I tell him a thing or two. Scared money don't win, evil women drink gin, and beech nut's the tobacco you chew.
You had a hold of my belt.
What's your name, Skinny?
Thomas Ulysses Temple.
Temple. I love it.
Thanks. More coffee?
Oh, darn. The coffee seems so
cold. I'm sorry. Let me help. I just wipe you.
But now it won't have to be cleaned anyway.
Always something happens.
Tough. You're a jinx. Did you know that?
Yeah. Tough.
Sure. T-U-F. Your initials. So your next con, huh? What'd they get you for?
I burned down an asbestos factory.
Come on, be serious.
No, it's true. They fired me when I went back to clean out my locker. There was an accident. I knocked over a barrel of kerosene. It fell down a bunch of steps. A guy just happened to open the door at the bottom and it rolled right into a furnace. Well, the rest is history.
Boy, you are a klutz. They thought you did it for revenge, huh?
What else?
You really can't get a job?
I can't even get a waiter.
Hmm. Yes. Finish your dinner. I want you to meet some people I know.
Who?
Oh, just some shoplifters.
We washing a car?
You'll see.
Gloria, sweet, you want to help me get a job? Well, with my luck, I shouldn't do anything dishonest. Even my honest gets dishonest somehow.
Hmm. Yeah, me too.
Why did you become... why are you a...
A shoplifter?
Yeah.
Well, the guy that runs this operation is Fritz Hochner. Now, I knew him when I was down on my luck, and he loaned me some money and then some more that I needed to send home, and so he's making me work it off.
Well, it's servitude.
Yeah. But in another month, I'll be paid off, and then I'll quit. Now, here, get ready to jump out.
In a car wash? I'll get wet.
No, you'll see. You ready? Go!
Hey, that's clever.
Now, down these steps.
Underground?
Yeah. It's an old gas storage tank. And they have a secret entrance in the wash tunnel. And customers drive in for the hot goods. They stop the wash line a minute and load the guy up, and then he's gone. Nobody suspects.
It's like an old Peter Lorre movie.
In here.
Come in. Gloria, who's that skinny guy?
A friend, looking for work.
I don't know. Wait. Boss.
Ah, Gloria, good. Where's the merchandise?
I lost it.
What? You cannot do that. I have customers.
It was an accident.
I do not like accidents.
Hey, you can't do that.
You first.
Oh. It's not my friend.
Shut up. He will wake up much wiser. I told you never to come back without merchandise I order.
Well, anyway, I quit.
You will quit when I, Fritz Hochner, say so. Buford, wake this ugly person.
Tommy, darling.
Yeah.
Did you say darling?
Oh, a slip of the tongue.
Enough, enough. Why did you bring this?
I thought you might find some work for him, but...
He is your friend and he can help you. Now, no time. Tonight is a special fur sale at the Mayberry department store. I have orders. You, Buford, and this will go pick up furs. And Buford will return them here by 8:30. Understood?
Oh, well, furs weren't part of our deal. Hey, if I do it, that makes us even?
Whatever you say. Now, go upstairs. Buford, you will stay a minute.
Come on, Tommy.
Okay.
Buford? It is time Miss DeMott left our employ. She is bad at the business.
What would you have me do?
Why, see that she and her friend are arrested, of course.
Matus is an old-world rosé wine people enjoy everywhere. Like down in the Delta, they know the blues are what you make it, and that the light, easy-to-like taste of Matus Rosé makes the meal.
Hey, Matus Rosé.
Man, on the West Coast, Matus is out of sight, but you see it everywhere. And in New England, Matus Rosé is perfect for that elegant evening on the town. Matus, the rosé wine that goes with everything good, anywhere, anytime at all.
Hey, 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 Matus Rosé.
Imported by Dreyfus Ashby & Company, New York, New York.
What was that, Skinny?
He's just getting a feel of the ropes. Buford, don't you think you should get the van and stand by the second level exit?
That's right, but you better hurry.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, do it?
Easy. For the fur wraps, I put them in my bloomers. See?
Gloria, that's sort of private.
Oh, Top, you're a peach. Now, for the coat, that's simple, too. Each of them has an electric sensor device, and I have an electric sensor device remover. I just put on the coat and walk out. Now, your job is to create a diversion if I need it. Here's the fur department. Poor animals.
Yeah.
Now, you stand over there by the cashier. Now, if I signal, follow or something, huh?
Oh, I'm good at the or something.
Buford's got four. This one, it will be done.
Gloria, maybe you better put it back. See that blonde girl over there?
What? Uh-oh, I've been burned. Look like you don't know me.
Burned?
Spotted. Hey, now's the time for one of your son things.
Gloria? Oh, boy, now what? I know, I'll get Buford. Excuse me, in a hurry. Excuse me, pardon me.
You see my mommy?
No, go away.
I want my mommy!
Shut up, kid, your mommy will come. Let go of my foot.
No! Let me up. Give me a ride on your shoulder.
Let go, kid. I'll eat you.
Don't beat me, mister. Don't beat me.
Oh, Jiminy.
Wait a minute. You leave the nice man alone. That's the greatest foot.
Thank you, ma'am. The door. Where's the door? Ah. Hubert. Wait, it's Gloria. She's... Hey!
Let go of my door.
You gotta help. Gloria's been burned.
That's too bad. See you, sucker.
But Gloria!
Let me go. I haven't done anything.
Quiet.
Gloria?
Tom? Tom Fimple?
Sir? Warden.
My boy, what a nice surprise.
Sir, what are you doing here? Nice seeing you. I have to go.
Well, hold on. What was that scene with the girls all about?
Warden, I got to talk to you.
Well, that's extraordinary. And you really love this girl?
Short notice, I know, but I do.
What about these nefarious characters she works for?
Well, I'm convinced they've finked on her to store security.
Then she's forced to shoplift, eh?
Yeah, some sort of bondage to this Fritz Hoepner.
But she really knows how they go about this business?
Yes, but she really doesn't want to. She needs a chance to go honest, like you gave me.
Dad.
Dad? Well, isn't that nice? Okay, I've got an idea. It just so happens I'm an old friend of J.D. Mayberry.
Tom Warden, you old son of a... Come on in.
J.D., meet Tom Fimple, an ex-pupil of mine.
Please, son, sit down. Drink?
J.D., I've got a favor to ask.
Anything, you name it.
Your security people are holding a girl. What's her name, Tom?
Gloria DeMott.
DeMott, yes. Could you have her set up, J.D.?
Well, certainly, if you say so.
Security, Sandy Marshall.
This is Mayberry. Is that Gloria DeMott?
Yes, sir. A real hard case.
Bring her to my office, will you?
Yes, sir. Right away.
It'll be just a moment, Warden. Shoplifters will be the death of me. You know my chain loses close to $1 million a year.
Tough to catch, are they, J.D.?
Like scratching your back. I've got good security people, but come in.
Here she is, Mr. Mayberry.
All right, Sandy. Thank you.
Oh, Tommy, they caught you too.
Miss DeMott, no one's caught your young friend. Please sit down.
Gloria, this is my friend, the warden. Remember, I told you?
At the pen. Oh, hi, Warden.
I'll make it short, J.D. These two people are in love.
Oh, Tom.
Tommy here tells me Miss DeMott is under the thumb of a gang of those shoplifting curmudgeons.
Oh. Now,
how would you like to catch them all?
We do that, and I'd be indebted for life.
Okay, here's what we do.
A car wash. I can't believe it.
Yes, sir. They store all the goods underground.
Well, there they go. And justly deserved, if I say so.
Mr. Mayberry, would you like to go down inside?
I certainly would. Will you look at that? Coats, TV sets, refrigerators. I don't believe it. Shoes, purses. Oh, look here. One of my competitors' dresses. Shoddy merchandise.
Oh, there's more, sir. In the next room is heavy stuff, like jewelry.
And J.B., what we talked about?
Hmm? Oh, yes, right. Mr. Mott, Mr. Fimple, how would you two like to come to work for my stores?
Would we?
Warden's idea. And I agree. I mean, what better way to catch shoplifters than to use someone with inside knowledge? Well,
terrific. Let me shake your hand. Oops. I did it again.
Oh, tough.
J.D., you made a great decision.
Here, honey, this is for you.
Oh, George, what a nice surprise. What is it?
It's a tire gauge.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
What's a tire gauge?
Well, you check your tire pressure. Well, it helps you get better mileage.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got it free from our participating international dealer just for looking at the new international travel law.
A new international travel law?
Yeah.
What's a travel law?
Well, it's something like our old station wagon.
Our old station wagon?
Except the travel law's a foot and a half shorter, so it's much easier for you to park.
Our old station wagon?
Yeah, and it has 20% more room inside. More room for you and the kids, more room for groceries. We'll get lots more use out of it.
Our old station wagon?
And right now, until July 20th, you get 4 Firestone gas-saving steel-belted radial tires on most models at no extra cost.
But where is...
And they're worth $290, suggested retail price.
George, where's the new travel law?
Right outside the window!
Oh, George, it's different.
I know.
I like different.
I know.
Different, all right.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes, exercise your imagination, and join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
The Rehabilitation of Citizen Fimple is an original radio drama by Keith Walker. Greg Morris was heard as Tommy Fimple. Featured in the cast were Margaret Maloney, Harold Perry, Byron Kane, Bob Easton, Bill Keane, and Jane Webb. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Polis, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood. Mutual Broadcasting System by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman. Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Why not join thousands of stock market traders who make informed decisions thanks to the premium features of FinViz Elite? They receive robust, real-time stock quotes, pre-market and aftermarket data, advanced visualizations, backtesting, along with much more. FinViz Elite has one of the best stock screeners in the business, plus profitability research on 100 technical indicators. FinViz Elite is also packed with 24 years of historical statistics and numerous custom filters to help you sort it all out. Receive email notifications about important events, portfolio changes, and stock ratings, all within an ad-free interface at a price everyone can afford. Get full details about FinViz Elite at krobcollection.com. From the K-Rob Collection, this has been Audio Antiques, a program featuring shows from the golden age of American radio. I'm Ken Robinson, urging you to subscribe to this podcast and to share it with anyone who loves classic broadcasts. Our music is by H-Beats, that's H-Beats with a Z. Thanks so much for listening.